責めないで削らないで負けないで誰だ。This is the Otaku Interview Podcast. I'm Scott Spaziani from Otaku Interview.
I'm Shannon, aka Perfect Serenade.
And I'm Michael Camacho of G-Nitro.com. This is episode 220, recorded on August 10th, 2021.
The flower I reviewed that day. Shannon.
What up?
This is exciting.
That was really loud.
This is exciting. We're recording. I don't know if we were supposed to be recording, but we're recording.
Okay, let's go.
I just want to welcome everyone to our wonderful Hard Mountain Dew celebratory podcast. So,
Hard Mountain Dew.
Yeah,
can we just celebrate watermelon Mountain Dew?
Wait a minute. Why am I hearing a voice that wasn't introduced, Shannon? Is that some kind of weird?
It's a weird apparition just floating around.
Dude, she's good at Photoshop. It's actually moving in the background.
Make it a film.
So, which flavor of Hard Mountain Dew are you most excited for? For a regular, black cherry, or watermelon?
None. That sounds
Live
all
wire.
Disgusting. It just sounds
Live
disgusting.
Wire code red. Let's go.
Disgusting.
Are we not? I mean, look, the watermelon has a picture
real?
Of a snake on it.
Yes, it's real. It's
I thought this was one of Scott's bullshit.
Mountain Dew with alcohol.
Hold on, I thought this was just another Scott bullshit introduction to the podcast.
I have never told a lie in the history of this podcast.
This is messed up today when you're making actual truth in the introduction, and I'm drinking wine.
What the fuck is wrong with you? Because you were drinking wine, and this is just, people out there, if you don't know Mike, I've never seen this man drink wine.
It's Ducaney from
We had to
Virginia.
Delay the
it's
start of this podcast by 15 minutes because he couldn't figure out how to open this wine.
So,
he was confused that there wasn't a lid.
That a good friend of mine, him and his wife, gave me. Or I should say,
interesting.
Friends of mine. They gave it to me for free to try because I said I don't really drink wine. And they said, hey, we have a few bottles. Take one and try it. It's Chardonnay from Virginia. It's good. It's not bad.
I like Chardonnay. It's a little dry for me. I usually prefer Pinot Grigios.
Pinot Grigio is the white I've had before. So
yeah, that's what I usually prefer when it comes.
They also gave me a raspberry dessert wine, which I'll try.
Ooh, that sounds freaking divine.
I mean, raspberry dessert wine sounds good, but I don't know anything about wine.
We should probably get into the anime because we're on a very. Short...
I got a quick intro.
No, we don't have any intro.
You
I don't
have
see any
a
intro.
Goddamn intro.
Okay, I got.
I didn't even play the intro segment.
I am going to
theme
cut
music
the intro
yet.
To one thing that I want to discuss, which is from the summer anime season that didn't launch until 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
The Great Jahi will not be defeated.
That doesn't sound like it's from the summer.
The Great Jahi will not be defeated. It is very much kind of like Devil is a Part-Timer, except it's a warlord from the demon realm that got defeated, and now she's in the human realm in lolly form, unless she finds these crystals that turn into a big form. Thankfully, the jokes run off of her being small, but not in a awkward way. Unfortunately, the comedy...
Such a couch.
So the comedy doesn't hit, honestly. It's based off a manga, and I bet the manga has better pacing. I just feel like the humor is just tossed in your face too often, where I'm just like, y'all really wanted this to be funny, but it's not as funny as you think it is.
Well, that's sad. That's
it feels kind of by the book and what I would expect of watching an anime like this, and I think that's the problem. It doesn't really step away. I mean, that's just a picture of her. It really is just her, struggling in the human world. And the manga looked hilarious when I saw a clip. I mean, pictures of it.
When you saw a clip?
But the anime, after two episodes, friend of the show Matt and I were both trying to watch it. We both were like, yep, we're done. And we just dropped it. Maybe I'll finish it one day, but there's a lot of anime out there, and I think I'm just done.
Oh my god, look at that outfit. the fuck?
But that's not even the Jahi everybody knows. Like, you're looking at that. But honestly, let's see. Will this even put? Nope. It won't let me do it.
It's good that we're looking at a photo in a
chat. Yeah.
Medium.
So this girl literally is like wearing nothing. It's anime. I mean, what do you expect? I guess I don't fucking know.
That's how she looks like normally.
She's got some thigh highs, just very small. I don't know how her titties are staying in that piece of fabric, but you know what? It's anime. It's anime logic.
But that's her normally the lolly form.
Anime physics, defying gravity.
What is her long T-shirt say?
Probably great job.
I have big boobies. I have big anime boobies.
But I'm going to check out the manga. I don't know if it's digital out here. I'm going to look, and I'll probably check that out. But I was disappointed in the anime. I just wanted to bring that up since it wasn't during the preview show.
Sad times. Sad times when even all anime can't excite Mike. Yep.
I mean, there is big news before we jump in, and that is Sony has finalized their acquisition of Crunchyroll.
It'll be interesting to see how all this turns out.
They claim that Crunchyroll is still going to be dedicated to bringing us the best in anime, and I'm like, so are they staying separate? Like, you're trying to still milk that money from both? Or are you eventually going to be like that bullshit of, well, we don't want to confuse future consumers, so we're merging them together.
I think that's probably going to happen. I think a merger is probably going
to
happen.
The problem is, if they move to Funimation's platform, I am going to have pretty much officially going to be acquiring everything through other means.
I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what happens.
Or I'll just watch high dive shows. The Sentai Filmworks crap shows. Like, that's it. I'll be like, hey, what does Sentai Filmworks have this season?
So, I mean, they've already issued a press release stating that there will soon be a unified subscription.
Okay.
Whether that means you get a subscription for both services or whether
they go back to the way they were with BRV, where you just get everything? Because I think that's the smart thing to do.
Could be. It could be that.
I'm willing to pay $10 or even $12 for both.
I agree.
I'm fine with that.
I would too. Because there are a lot of series that I would like to see on Funimation. And I hope, you know, now that they've got Sony money, that they'll put some more oomph into maybe.
I mean, Crunchyroll's been improving well.
Yeah, but there's still a lot of issues that I have.
Oh yeah, but not like Funimation.
Oh no, definitely not like Funimation. I mean, you can get just subtitles drop.
Yeah, that's what happened to me.
Voice is off. It's bizarre.
The smart thing to do is you tape the Funimation logo to the Crunchyroll logo, put it on the top, and just move all the streaming services over to Crunchyroll. Maybe redesign the webpage, because the webpage does look very 2008.
Crunchyroll or Funimation?
Both.
Crunchyroll.
Crunchyroll, I thought, was updating their thing to the black background and all that.
I don't know. I'm looking at it right now, and it looks very 2008. I am not logged in.
That's why. If you logged in, you see the beta version. Which looks nicer.
But I mean, I watch most things on my TV.
Same.
Anyway.
So do I. I watch it through my Xbox.
But whenever I do go to the Funimation website to watch things, I get very confused as to where do I actually go to look at streaming
stuff. Oh, it's all bad. Like, it takes forever just to find an episode to click on. Like, I'll click on the series, then it's like, wait, you gotta click on this other thing. Now you can get to the I'm like, why can't I just get to the episodes?
Yeah.
Like, Funimation is very poorly designed. Like, they tried to make it, like, newer look of browser, but it is just poor design.
Yeah, I mean, you leave Funimation for the home video and like maybe like digital purchases like they do.
You move everything to Crunchyroll and you're smart. Like,
and
don't...
then you move streaming to Crunchyroll.
Yeah. Even if you want to call it Funimation, you use their platform though. You don't stick with what Funimation has now.
No, I mean Crunchyroll is a name that people know for streaming. Yeah. I think that's obvious.
Wanted to bring that up.
But you know, we hope they're going to make the right decisions. Is really the only thing that we can say right now.
Yep.
All right, we're going to talk about some cartoons. Oh, Jesus, whoa.
Well, Scott.
We don't. I just said I don't want to rush podcast. We can chill a little.
We don't have. No. We don't have to rush talking about Anohana. Because honestly, like that's kind of like what we usually dedicate these.
I am looking forward to hearing how soulless Shannon is.
I'm fucking soulless.
I also, after Scott's comment though, I cried way more than both y'all probably combined.
Right.
I am an emotional wreck at 42. So.
No. Not a single tear was shed.
Oh, I don't know how.
I'm a heartless weeb. Cold, heartless weeb.
This week, we are talking about...
Otakon Maskless. I mean, what?
God damn it. I'm ruining my... You're stepping on my bit.
Otakon not social distancing during panels. Is that what we're talking about?
Oh, my God.
Well, you saw Evan Minto like left the panel because they weren't social distance and somebody would not put his mask on.
I did not see that.
Holy shit.
Yep, he dipped the fuck out.
When he was hosting or when he
was... No, he was one that he was sitting in on, one of the industry people. Or one of the fans, big fans that he knows. Overall, I heard they did a good job with the rules. But it was after hours at the hotel that was the worst part.
Yeah, and I mean, that's kind of to be expected. Especially when you get the alcohol flowing and everything, everybody's inhibitions just start flowing into the wind.
Yeah, alcohol and COVID restrictions.
This wine?
That would have been
go.
Us. Well, honestly, 100%, that would have been us.
Well,
that
2 years ago, it was us.
It
two
was
years
me.
Ago, it was. We were shit. We were both
we
shit-faced.
Were shit-faced. We were
then
really
went
shit-faced.
At each other, and I went back and slapped. And you
we
kept
did.
Partying.
We did fight. But you know what? The thing that makes our friendship so strong is the fact that we woke up the next morning.
Yeah.
And we said, fuck it.
It was like, whatever. It ain't
like,
nothing
whatever.
Worth it in life.
Fuck it. But anyway.
Sorry, Scott. Go ahead.
Let's go.
What?
Go ahead, Scott. Or do you want to talk about my brewery anniversary?
No!
I'm just messing
no,
with
we
Scott.
Don't wanna, nobody wants to talk about that.
All right, let's go. The super spreader event
anyway.
I went to.
Stop
looking at
the carpet.
Why?
Oh, boy. Delta's going to get you. This week, we are talking about
the
2010
what the
fuck is wrong with this thing? 11 anime. Anohana, the flower we saw that day.
We stepped on?
Before we talk about Anohana proper, I think we have to mention that this is, written by actually one of the early breakout hits from Mari Okada. So Mari Okada, got a kind of a big, early in her career, she wrote a bunch of screenplays in the early 2000s-ish. But then, started to, do a bunch of series compositions in the mid-2000s. So,
question. Was the manga
yeah.
first? Because they came out the same year, or was it at the same time?
So, the novel, it was a novel. And,
oh, sorry. The novel and the show came out at the same year. So, was it at the same time?
I imagine that the novel was written to help with the series composition.
Okay, I assume because it says 2011, and this aired in spring 2011, so it's a pretty big rush job if they based it on the novel, so that's why I was wondering.
Well, I mean, Mari Okada wrote the novels.
Yeah, but they came out the same year is what I'm saying.
Well, yeah, but she was involved in the... I imagine that she wrote the novels and the screenplay at the same time. But Mari Okada... It's early in her career, she was, she was responsible for a bunch of pretty big shows.
Her second series, by the way.
True Tears, Vampire Knight, Black Butler, Toradora.
Oh, you're talking about her first novel was Aria, though, that became an anime.
That did become an anime. These are all, she was basically, had a hand in the series composition for a bunch of big shows, a lot of the Noitanima block shows, so like Fractal, Wandering Sun, all those like early 2010s, as Mike would call them. What do you call the anime I like?
Oh, yeah, it's like
snobby bullshit.
That's not the webcam. Sure, there you go. Look at it. This is not my webcam.
I don't know. What were you going for there? Pretentious?
That's pretty much what I was going
Pretentious?
For.
Pretentious? Oh, yeah.
In she has now moved to mostly screenplays for films, but this was pretty early in her career. Probably done, and I'm looking at the timeline here. I think it's done like right in the middle of her working for PA Works. So this came out right before the 10th anniversary project, Hanasaki Iroha, which she also did the composition for. And 2 years, a year before the Pet Girl of Sakurasu, which famously ended this podcast the first time around.
What?
Because it's garbage. What?
What? I haven't finished it, but I enjoyed the first 16 episodes.
They made 20 episodes of that?
24.
All right, so that's who wrote this show, Mario Kata. So that's, and it's based, of course, on a novel that she wrote as well. So not only did she kind of was, you know, in charge of the series composition and all the story beats, but wrote the source material as well. So
it's crazy to think. You're talking about her, but I just looked at the character designer, and they also did High School of the Dead, and I'm trying to look to see it. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to see it. I don't see how this guy did both.
So, you know, I think, you know, when this came out, this was very much a prestige project by someone who was like a very hot commodity in the anime world at the time. And I think that's pretty much the way that the show is treated. Now, Shannon, while we were talking earlier, you mentioned that the animation and the character designs are very good.
Yeah, and actually,
they were still impressive.
Now that you talked about how it was from 2011, that's even more impressive to me. That was around the time when so I really lost interest in anime. In this era that was Moe, like the whole Moe style, and where they look like their faces kind of looked blobbish. Like it was just like this whole Moe blobbish.
You didn't like Strike Witches?
No. I like the whole look and everything. So when I first looked at Anohana, and I was like, I'm not sure I was going to like the style, but I was actually pleasantly surprised because the animation was really clean, really smooth.
They're both there.
I liked it. I thought it was pretty. I mean, at some point, you know, it's like kind of like especially with the female characters, it kind of got a little Moe blobbish to me in the face. But I was actually quite impressed with that. I think that was, I mean, one of the only things I liked about the anime. But we'll get into that later.
Yeah, so it's certainly the production values are super high. I mean, A1 Pictures, which A1 Pictures can be a hit or miss studio, but it's clear that they put their A team on this project. So,
I'm sorry, what have they missed on? They made your Space Brothers bullshit. So, what are you talking about?
You know, it's amazing.
That's
how
what I want to see that I haven't seen yet, which is really surprising considering what I do.
It's funny how I can quickly find something to completely shatter Scott.
It is amazing that like the only reference that you can make is like Space Brothers to like something that you don't like that I do.
I'm
anyway,
just saying that you like that, and they made that. They've also did Working, which was a great anime.
I was going to say Sword Art Online. How about that?
Okay, yeah, they suck. They should never be around.
I mean, they're responsible for a bunch of great stuff. But, I mean, you know, they also have some questionable...
Like Fairy Tail?
As anybody.
Wait, what? They did Fairy Tail?
The anime, yeah.
So I know Fairy Tail... Didn't it switch studios at some point? Because, man, the animation got bad.
I don't know. Or they just...
I mean...
They went cheap.
Bad.
Got one in the building?
Yeah,
Darling and the Frax as well. Anyway, let's talk about what is Anohana. So, I mean, I think that we've already hinted that Anohana is prestige project. We
one inside
and a supposedly depressing one. So what is Anohana about? So it is about this this high school student whose name is Jinta. Yodami, the thing is Jinta. Every character in this show has four names, so it's confusing. And when in sixth grade, he had this very close knit group of friends who hung out in the woods at this little like shack that they built together.
Super Peace Busters.
And one day, there's a small argument and a bunch of the kids run in different directions, and the day and they never really patch everything up, and then that day or either it was later that day or early the next day, one of their friends ends up dead in the river very close to this secret hideout. So there's never really, they never really tell us exactly what happened, but I think the implication is that she went back to the secret hideout for some reason, slipped and fell into the river. And then of course was found a couple hours later. So,
excuse me, sorry.
So and that was Menma, and then so there's the other cast of characters. We have of course the best character Popo, who is kind of a recluse. I don't even think he goes to high school. I don't know how the Japanese school system works exactly.
Yeah, me either. But that was confusing.
I mean, no, his dad
for Popo for sure does not go to high school.
But his dad for Jintan, his dad has just allowed it to happen. He had two tragedies in a row, and just kind of let his son decide how he wanted to run with his life.
Well, that's true, but Popo...
I don't think... Does Popo have a family? Because he stayed living at the...
Yeah, I don't know. It was never really discussed.
He said, I've been living here.
Yeah.
He doesn't have family.
The hint, the only thing we got from him is that he, he works odd jobs, mostly construction and, like, heavy labor jobs, and then he travels around the world, and he spends a couple weeks in other places, and then he returns to Japan and hangs out in what was their secret hideout. And he's the best character because he is just a complete open book, free spirit, and there's a tragic reason for that. So there's,
you think,
of course,
he's best character.
I think he's best character. Yeah. Naruko,
I like
who,
his character.
Is childhood, he's the childhood friend of another childhood friend. She's currently in modern day has this just cold, distanced attitude towards Jinta because he doesn't go to school, and the fact that he's this like recluse punk lowers her social standing. So she has distanced herself from him, and kind of hangs out with the popular girls and is now, used to be into comics and video games, but is now into fashion and girly stuff. And then there's the pair, and these names, I'm bad with the names because every character has seven names. There is, Yuki Yatsu, who is the kind of the handsome, very smart, like, try hard of the group, and he's in a college prep school, and is super into super athletic, super successful, gonna do something with his life. And then there's Suruko, who is kind of attached herself to Yuki Yatsu, so is on the same path of college prep, and in desperate love with him, but is kind of invisible in the shadow of Menma. So that's our main cast of characters.
So,
but where
Naruto
where
is
we
my
start?
Favorite.
Who?
So she is my favorite. But while
yeah, that makes sense.
That.
Who?
What?
That makes.
Who?
She's the that one who sense. Admits to like one of
the redhead.
Oh yeah, no, she's my favorite too. I really, I feel like out of all the characters, her personality was fleshed out the most. But we'll get into that.
Yeah, we'll get to that. I'll talk about her later when basically it all comes to a head and she admits things that a lot of people wouldn't admit in real life.
So I'm gonna be honest, because this era of anime, that this is definitely in that kind of peak Moe era, or actually it's probably like this is towards the decline of the Moe era, but we had a lot of shows mostly based on visual novels that were these kind of over dramatic cry fests.
Angel Beats? Anybody? Angel Beats?
Angel Beats for sure, but the one
Angel Beats
is the most manipulative shows that you'll ever see.
Who hasn't watched Angel Beats?
I have not.
Oh, I should make Shannon watch Angel Beats.
You
really
want to
cry?
She hates that.
She doesn't cry to Angel Beats. Yeah, right. Yo, I'll tell you right now, she really has no soul.
I mean, Angel Beats is like the best version of this genre of like overly sacrosanct, manipulative.
Did you cry at Clannad at least, Shannon?
So
never seen it.
After Story, Clannad and Clannad After Story, I think are the most famous. Popular ones, but there was also like Air and this. So this genre is basically like it takes you down this kind of romance between the bland, boring male stand-in character and then the very cute, innocent, yet spirited girl who has anime wasting disease, and then eventually the girl who you come to love and becomes a linchpin of this of bland anime protagonist life.
Wait,
tragic death.
No.
What?
Anime wasting disease? What is this?
Yeah. It's anime wasting disease. It's where they don't name the disease that the character has, but she's sick all the time and she misses a lot of school and eventually she dies.
Gotcha.
It's very similar to the anime mom disease, for example, where the mother in Totoro has anime mom disease, where
this anime.
The mom in this one has anime
mom disease.
Yes, this anime does have anime mom disease, but it doesn't have anime wasting disease. So anyway,
no, yes. But you're kind of the one thing you're led about Menma throughout this. Mm-hmm. She is portrayed as slow.
A little bit, but we'll get there. But so that's the kind of show I expected. But what I didn't expect is I started episode one, and episode one we see Jinta, who is a very, very kind of already a bitter, misogynistic, angry character, like right off the bat, and what we think is his like very like spirited friend comes over and he ignores her, and that's like the first 10 minutes of the show before you realize that this spirited girl is Minma and she's a ghost, and then only Jinta can see her, and that's the start of the show. So
we finally got there.
This show is about Jinta trying to figure out why his dead childhood friend
Dunkers.
Has returned to the physical, the real world, and to try to send her to heaven. That is the core plot of the show, and the way that he decides to do this is to bring this group of friends back together who have not been friends for five or so years since this tragedy occurred. So Jinta he goes and kind of goes on this quest to recruit everybody. He hasn't like Mike said earlier, he hasn't been going to school because of all the tragedy he suffered. He just didn't want to go, and his father was just like has a very and he in fact says in the show that he has a laissez-faire attitude towards parenting, so just lets him be. But the fact that Minma appears to him kind of gives him kind of this motivation to get out and return to school, talk to his old friends again, get the gang back together, go back to these places where he used to be and hang out with them, and really, really return him to social life. And granted, it is for the weirdest reason in the world, because he can see the ghost of his dead friend. But at the very least, it motivates him to do this. I think and then, this show kind of builds up and it builds up Jinta as a character. Eventually, he actually does stop going to school, but he like gets 4 or 5 jobs and he like learns responsibility. He's trying to save money and he certainly does go through this rapid growth as a person because this happened to him. But at the same time, there is an kind of, while he is running around with the support of his friends talking about I see the ghost of Minma, his friends are also dealing with their own kind of interpersonal relationships surrounding this tragedy, like their own hang-ups related to it, and then everything kind of builds up to this grand finale. The number one thing before I'll turn it over to opinions on that, but the number one thing that I was shocked about, and I don't know if this is spoiler, but I guess we're going to get
2011.
Yeah, it's okay. Spoilers.
We're okay. We're a decade later, buddy. If you haven't watched this yet, stop fucking listening and go watch it.
So the one thing that I was fairly sure about going in, after at least the first two, really the first 5 or 2 episodes, is that I did not think that Minma was actually there. Right? I mean, there's like Jinta talks, like acknowledges that the ghost is there as a manifestation of his trauma. He says that out loud, and there is evidence in the show that points to that being the case.
True, because we've all seen that trope where even though things are moving around, they'll always flashback later to show how it was actually happening or something like that.
And things only moved around when he was alone with her, and then all of a sudden, everyone can see things moving around, and they find a way to talk to her, and then things get weird. But
I thought she might have been a figment of the imagination until a certain scene in episode 6. But we'll talk about that when we get there. I think it was 6.
Mike, what did you think of Anohana?
Overall or the beginning?
initial thoughts, I guess.
My initial thoughts was like, okay, this is going to be a cute moe drama. When I first started this series way back in 2011, I know when it started, I got through half the series, and the first 5 episodes I spent going, okay, this is cute, he's going to find out her wish. I didn't know the turn it was going to take. I guess I should have. But I've always I enjoyed the way Menma came in. I enjoyed the way Jintan dealt with it in the way that, like, they didn't keep her as her child self. They let her kind of grow up. I thought that was key. Instead of having this weird, like, child ghost following them around, which would have been, like, slightly awkward.
What turn, though? What turn, though?
What do you mean?
No, you're like, you didn't expect, like, the turn that it took, but, like...
I didn't know if Scott wanted to get into it yet. But when they go to Menma's mother, there's, like, that's when it took the emotional turn. Like, that was the first time I cried in the series. When they went and saw the mother, and I'm like, oh, shit, here we go. It's going to be a tearjerker. Like, I should have known, but it's when it really kicked in for me, and I was just like, it was the first time I was like, uh-oh. Yep, there go the feels. I'm done. And honestly, I didn't purposely put the show down What's after that? That. I just know at the time it wasn't something I was looking to watch at the time. And it's sad that it took me another decade to finish it. But
it's heavy. You know, so you have to be in a certain mindset to watch it, for sure. Because, I mean, there are some heavy themes in the show.
Like the mindset of marathoning both seasons of Clannad in 48 hours of being awake, which is the worst thing you could ever do in life. Like, if you ever want to end your life afterwards, that would be it. Like, Clannad is a fucking emotional fuck. But this show is that way, and I'll just talk about the first half where... Yeah, it's kind of like, I feel like the whole first half of this show is really getting you acquainted, especially the first five episodes, of this cast, of what they used to have in the past. It's crazy that I have to say it took half the show to really build this up, but they took their time and really wanted you to understand these characters in a way that the second half of events would really make sense to you and why the drama matters towards the end. And that's why, without going past the turn part of emotions, that was my initial impression. This is an interesting build up. Oh shit, you just hit me with emotional feels. I see where this is going. I can understand why in the first four or five episodes, you're either invested or you're not. This is going to be a show you want to watch or you don't, because it's not it's not a fast paced show at all. Like, it's going to take its time.
No, I mean, the first couple episodes it feels more like a slow mystery is
and
unraveling.
Menma,
you know,
is Moe character of the show, like straight up.
I found her to be extremely annoying,
and a lot of people do. And I get it. I think she's super cute. Even though she grew up, like, in terms of looks, she still has the mindset from back then. And I think that brings into the play the fact that she's portrayed as being slower than the rest of the group.
Right. And we'll... Yeah, there's definitely a lot in there I want to talk about. But
I don't know. So they don't talk enough about it for me to say more than that, because I don't want to, like, misdiagnose somebody, but they definitely portray her her mental prowess as being slower than the rest of the group. Even when she was young, you can see it in the past, the way she is. She's only focused on her friends, and there's nothing really else that she's really worried about in her mind.
Shannon, I know you're... You did not quite enjoy the show as much as we did. So what did you think of the first half of it?
So this kind of show just isn't really my cup of tea, just to begin with. Just style-wise and story-wise. When I watch anime, I don't want to have to think too much about what the story is trying to tell me or what the story is trying to... I just don't have to think too much about what's going on. And I felt like I was lost a lot of the time. To me, the overdramaticness of it and the overdramaticness of the characters was a little cringe. I feel bad. Like, when they went to visit Mama's mom, I was just kind of like, what?
And yet, I was bawling my eyes out.
I was just kind of like, what? What are they doing?
And yet, I was completely in, like, utter disaster.
I mean, so the character of Anaru, the redhead.
Oh, my name.
I really enjoyed her. Sorry, I had to tell my husband to keep quiet. He's yelling in the background. I really enjoyed...
Photoshop shouldn't talk.
I really enjoyed her character growth throughout the season, especially the first half. I think her whole development was the only story that I was kind of invested in. I felt like Menma as a character just kind of annoyed me from the get-go. And pretty much all the other characters, aside from Anaru and Popo. Popo is kind of a fun character. But like I said, you know, I went into this with this kind of genre not being my cup of tea. But I did get through it. I did watch it. It wasn't bad. But I don't think if y'all haven't, you know, if y'all didn't recommend it that we watch it, I don't think I would have continued past like the first two episodes.
Real quick, since we were talking about the characters and you're talking about the characters there, can we all agree that Yukiatsu is the worst character of the show?
What a bitch.
Like,
what
he literally has a wig styled after Menma, and it creeps me the fuck
you know,
out.
I didn't, so that was one thing. I didn't quite understand why that whole situation happened. Like, what was the purpose?
I thought they could have left that out. It was not.
Well, so...
not okay.
That was another part of the thing that was like, that made me think too much about what was happening and why he did that. Like, I just didn't understand the whole purpose behind
that certainly gets into the second half of the show. But the one thing I found, the thing I found kind of maybe odd or there's some kind of disconnect for me is the fact that all of the boys of this group seem to be fixated on Menma, where the only thing that maybe stood her out.
I don't think
as
Popo
a
was
sixth
really
grader.
Fixated on anybody though. I think he was just happy to be with friends.
That's true. But the other two guys were fixated on Menma.
Yeah.
But the only thing that really set her apart was that she was like, you know, free spirited and a little bit airheaded and not as serious as the other girls. Like I don't know if there was like a super reason for any of the girls to be jealous of her, apart from the fact that she had, for some reason, had the boys' attention. I don't know. I don't know if you felt the same way.
Yeah, I mean, it was just there to add to the drama of the second half, honestly. Where it turned into this big, what are those boards? Those boards people put up for solving crimes where they're like, we're gonna pin this here, this yarn goes to here. It was more like, this person likes this person, but this person likes this person, and it was just like, Jesus Christ, slow, like, you have 11 episodes, you don't need to have everybody like everybody.
And you say, I honestly think that it could have gone without maybe two or three episodes. I felt like it really kind of dragged on, especially like during the whole the first start of the second half when they got together and they started building the rocket.
Do we want to get into the second half then?
Well, we do. The thing that I think the weakest part of the show is that everyone had this insatiable crush on Menma, where I think that the character that was presented to us, the audience, was more of this like very innocent little sister character who I didn't feel like needed to be dragged into this kind of weird romantic dead girl love triangle.
With Jintan, Jintan and Menma made sense. I thought Yukiatsu with this weird like, I like Menma, but my backup is obviously Naruko. I was like, yo,
yeah,
they could have easily just made it that he liked Naruko while she liked Jintan, and then,
agreed.
What's her name? Chirico just liked him. Like, they could have left it at that. It didn't have to be two people vying for Menma, because the whole Yukiatsu thing is so awkward and creepy as fuck. And I was just, the whole time I was like, dude, you could get hit by a car right now, and I would not miss you for the rest of this fucking show, at all.
So, but I think that gets to the point of why. You know, when we get to the second half of the show and what... Well, so, introducing the second half of the show is we have that scene with Yukiatsu, where, you know, Popo in the forest, you know, when Jinta finally comes and says, all right, Popo, I gotta tell you this, I can see Menma. And he's like, oh, I saw her too. It's like, wait a second, hold on. And a couple episodes later, it's revealed that it is actually Yukiatsu running through the forest wearing a dress and a wig that looks like Menma. And that's when I think it 100% clicked for me exactly what the show is about, which this is not a visual novel adaptation sad porn show. This is a show that is about trauma.
It very much
and
is.
About dealing with the trauma that is present. And so Yukiatsu's way of dealing with that trauma is to pretend that he's still buying accessories for Menma, still, you know, that she's still out there, and for some reason dressing up as her and playing the charade that Menma's still
alive. He needs serious therapy.
Everybody
oh,
did.
Yeah. I mean,
everybody
they
did.
They all need therapy.
But
every,
it also...
Yeah, every kid in the show needs therapy.
To be fair, it also goes to show how much just everyday people and everyday kids grow up after trauma not getting therapy and dealing with things. And sometimes you come back together and deal with it, and sometimes you just drift apart and you never, ever discuss the trauma again. And this is a show that could have seen the group go about their ways for the rest of their life and never deal with the fucking trauma. This show is about them dealing with that trauma and coming to grips.
Yeah, and once that was established that this is... Okay, this is not only Jinta's trauma.
No.
From whatever... From the things that he did that may have caused... that caused Menma's death. This is kind of everyone's trauma. And that day does get kind of fleshed out in detail, kind of slowly over the whole show, but the essential, like, events of the day were, you know, so Jinto was, like, cornered into trying, you know, they wanted him to admit that he liked Menma, but he was a child, so he called her ugly and ran away. That's number one. When he ran away...
Which is, let's be honest, that's not far off from reality. Because a lot of kids, when they're dealt with reality of their feelings for somebody, go the opposite.
Oh, yeah.
Because
I mean, shit. I experienced
especially
that.
Especially young boys. Because we're always taught to withhold our emotions and not fucking show them. This is very... Yeah. This is very much real life in the way he reacted. It doesn't matter what society in. As men, you're told to withhold that emotion, and you can't let that out. Instead, he insulted her, ran off, and then she ran off and died.
She ran off after him, but the twist of it, the twist and the opposite of that, you know, childhood masculinity defense, is Yukiatsu immediately after that sees this opportunity and says, "No, Menma, wait, screw him. I like you. Why don't we just hang out?" And she says, "But he's running away, so I got to go after him." So that was domino number two. No. The that day, you know, and then so he, you know, then Yukiatsu felt guilty because A, he lost to Jinta in the final moment, and then ultimately thinks that he helped cause her death because I guess the present that he gave her is something that Menma came back to look for.
Yeah.
That day, the two
the
girls
they saw that day.
The two girls' trauma is related to their feelings towards Menma as a jealousy tactic, right? Because
Chirico, did I just say her name wrong? No, Chirico has said she accepted the Menma thing. Her jealousy is toward Anaru.
Well, her jealousy is towards Anaru.
She was always willing to be the backup until she realized she's not the backup.
What's going on?
Yes. That's true. But also the fact that she thought that Anaru would go with Jinta and then she would have... So, yeah.
Well, I don't understand why you'd want that piece of shit, Yukiatsu. Like, I'm like, how did you see this dude? It was like, you know what? I'll be your backup. Why would anybody want to be his backup? He is like, he is toxic masculinity freaking defined. Straight up.
100%. With that extra layer that of his trauma forcing him to dress like a woman for some reason.
Yeah.
Just weird.
Or just holding the wig in hand and stroking the hair, which is also just as creepy.
Even worse.
I thought that was the worst part, because I was like, yo, I was like, is there something I can do? Because I don't want to watch this part. Like, can we stop? Move on? Nope, you're going to keep showing it. Okay. Fuck you, show. Not a fan of him. I hate that dude.
Yeah, Inaru, Inaru's jealousy, you know, Inaru was always jealous of Menma for being the favorite of Jinta.
Well, I want to talk about that in a bit.
Yeah, but her, on that day, she kind of wished that she would go away. And she got that wish granted.
Stop. I want to talk about this in a bit.
Okay, we'll talk about it. And then Popo's kind of the thing that Popo carried with him is that he saw Menma's death.
Which and did not was, I tell thought, the anyone most about shocking it. Thing.
For sure.
Because that, yeah. I did not see that coming at all. Everybody else was giving off hints of their feelings here and there. No way did I expect Popo to be like, I saw her death and I couldn't do anything. And honestly, I didn't feel like anger towards him because I feel like a lot of people freeze up in a moment like that.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like there's probably nothing he could have ever done.
No.
Other than told someone immediately, which I'm not going to blame him for.
By the time he came
that.
Back, I mean they're in the woods.
Yep. So that I mean that so
Hold
his
on, real quick,
his life
because we're yep. going far into the future. I just want to talk real quick. When Menma's on the bridge and sees that carp, did anybody think mm-hmm. that was something taking her way to heaven? Like, before, like, this was done? Like, I thought this glowing carp in the river was going to be like, she's gone! And they're like, what?
I thought that she was going to be gone.
Also, we haven't talked enough about the witch.
Do you like me?
No, we haven't, but we'll come to it. So I think that what Popo sees that day, like, so his character is very much based on this idea that he travels a whole bunch. Yeah. And yet he always kind of comes back to the forest. So he has this dual desire to he's always trying to escape the trauma that he saw in Japan, but at the same time, he always comes back to the location of it.
But it's always his place of residence when he comes back.
Yeah, so it's both running away, but also being drawn back to the location
of the
where this
happened.
Let's talk
about the Anaru thing.
Okay, let's talk about the Anaru.
I feel she is the most real character because when it all comes down, she is traumatized, and even though she vocalizes her intent throughout the show of her selfishness, in the end, she comes to terms with the fact that this whole time I've been selfish. If Menma's out of the way, I can be with Jintan. Even when the ghost is there, she wanted the wish to be granted so Menma could be out of the picture. And I felt like out of everyone, she was the most honest with herself because she's also the first one to trigger everybody else speaking their truth. And you saw this from the get-go where you just thought she was like, I've always been attracted to Jintan, but it was never like this toxic attraction, I guess is a good term for it in the beginning because of how she kind of pushes herself constantly on him, about it. Like even in the video store or the rental store when, she's like basically being selfish as shit. I didn't like that moment, but at the same time, I understood the moment. Like, watching her grow, and you understand her character to the end, where I was like, man, she's selfish. She just wants everything out of the picture, so it's just her and Jintan. And then when she admitted it, I felt like it was just this moment of, this is the best character. Like, it takes so much, even in real life, to admit something like this, and they made her that character. Because as soon as she did it, the floodgates opened and everybody launched into their freaking thing. And to Shannon's credit, when she said there were times where it was overdramatic, this was the sequence everybody's kind of overly crying. I thought this was the scene that was kind of like, I'm crying, and at the same time, I also stopped crying because I was like, okay, y'all are going too far.
It's it was a little
like,
cringe.
Nobody cries
it was
like this the way
cringe.
They are. Shannon, you're muted.
Am I? It was a little cringe for me. It was a little cringe for me because
it was okay when they were crying, but they kept like overemphasizing that they were going into another bout of crying.
Yeah, the overdramaticness of it. I feel like if they had really kind of pulled back on that, I feel like it could have the feeling of that scene could have went a little farther, but the overdramaticness of it really kind of lost me in that moment.
I found the life form.
I felt like they were trying to, instead of allowing the motions to occur within the viewer naturally, they were trying to force it into them. And it was the only real moment of the show where I felt like fully forced into like this emotion.
100%.
And I was like, yo, I was crying. And then I was just like, really? Y'all are still like, you just went into a second round of this. Like, where I'm like, you don't have to cry like this. You can get the emotions across without being like so overdone. I want the scene to be over with. Like, it pulled me in and then quickly was like, okay. I cried a lot during the show, and this was the one where it, like, really kind of ruined the moment.
You puss!
It's certainly, it's a...
Whatever. I've always been very emotional.
It's a very difficult line, tightrope to walk, right? Because, you know, this is the emotional keystone of the show, is when all of them finally open up to each other.
Yeah.
And admit the things that they were scared to, admit why they were wrong. You know, everything just laid out so that everyone can understand it, and it is cathartic and release, you know, they've released all this nonsense that they've kept bottled up for 5 years. But you know, at the same time, that's not exactly the way things happen in real life. You know, five people don't come together and just spill all this stuff, especially high schoolers, right? Just spill all this nonsense. I mean, there certainly were a couple like blocks that were removed that led to this moment. You know, the revelations about Yukiatsu being the big ones. But yes, I mean, it's a very difficult scene to create because you need to come to this dramatic resolution, while at the same time
it's animated. Yeah, so I feel like because it's animated, they pushed it further than they needed to. I feel like
it's also it's also the genre. It's a high school
drama
too.
But I'm saying, I feel like just the fact that it's an anime, they thought they had to make it a little more over the top than they needed, because we've watched fucking Angel Beats. Those scenes aren't overly crying. They do it to the point where they do it in such a way you're fucking crying without the cast really crying all that much in some sequences. They're doing it in a sad way where they're crying, but they're not like like that shit. And that's the problem with this scene, is they tried to make it cartoonish when you're making a drama show, and it didn't need to be cartoonish.
Right.
And I wish somebody on the staff was like, hey, this might be
Tone it down a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think the thing that made it a little bit worse is that all of these revelations, for the most part, have been revealed to different smaller groups of characters. And they've already had this discussion out. So I think maybe a better presentation or something with maybe a little more catharsis of just they sit down and say, okay, this is the whole thing. We need to just lay it all out and just very seriously sat down, maybe had one cry together and not had this huge dramatic yelling moment. But would that have been the climax of a show? Hopefully. And then, you know, that goes what you said about Anaru. That she had her, you know, in the store, she has this moment with Jinto where she pours everything out, and you realize, like, she wasn't distancing herself from Jinto because she was afraid of his popularity, you know, not being popular, or that she was mad that he was a delinquent. Like, she was distancing herself from Jinto because she felt all this terrible guilt that had been built up and didn't want to be reminded of it.
Yeah, pretty much. And while she admitted it to Jinta, she hadn't admitted it to the group. And that's what this said was.
I had two reveals here. So.
But you want to talk about the wish and what those
were? Yeah, so we spent the whole show with them trying to find... Once they really started, like, some of them believed Jinta early on. Some were skeptical, very skeptical. But they all were trying to help I feel like they were trying to help him at first and trying to find some closure. For sure. Then when they started really believing, they were trying to find Menma's wish. But and it's interesting.
And this is something that Menma actually comes out and says that I want. Is it that you promised me something, or that,
she goes?
Is that what she goes, says? It?
I need to fulfill my final wish, and she doesn't really tell anybody what it is at first. Becomes clear that the promise was with Jinta's mother.
The thing is Menma didn't realize what it... Do you honestly think that Menma knew what it was and she was holding it back, or that she didn't know?
No, she did not.
I feel like the thing that happened with Jinta's mom, or Jinton's mom, however we want to call him, happened enough time in advance of her passing that she truly didn't remember. So I thought they were like, hey, so that's why they got the diary from the mother, or Menma's mother. And what kick... I didn't talk about this, but in episode 7, where I was like, yo, what's up with this mother? Where she was like, oh, they're all trying to make your wish. What a joke. And I was like, what? What's wrong with this mom? And that's another thing we'll talk about, is Menma's mom, how that's dealt with. In a very interesting way, because
why don't you go ahead and talk about it.
So
like what Menma's mother is.
We come to find out Menma's mother is still grieving, of course. But acts in the initial episodes like, yeah, she's there to help the other kids, give them what they need, and then all of a sudden you realize she's the complete opposite. And this is another part that really started making me get emotional and cry was. Menma's mom has not moved on in any way. To the point
she's a nightmare person.
Yeah, she's
she has
like,
ruined the lives of the rest of her family.
Yes, the father and the brother, to the point where the brother at one point is like, do you even know how tall I am? Fucking cried. Like I said, I will tell you right now, if the brother showed up in a scene, I was fucking crying. He was literally a catalyst in multiple scenes of emotional moments. So, the whole wish thing, they thought it was a rocket. They built this rocket after, like, fighting against the family. They thought it was the father. It turned out to be the mother, and that's how you found out she is, like, y'all are still alive. She's dead. Just let it go. Like, this whole thing of, like, y'all get to live your life
right.
And enjoy.
It's when Menma was alive, the firework that they were going to build, the rocket, was to help... Jinta's mother get to heaven, and now they concluded that okay, she wants this symbol to be so she can get to heaven.
So when they finally get the rocket built and all, and when the brother shows up for the rocket, there's another moment I was like, fucking crying, like because I saw the brother show up and I was just like, I couldn't handle it. Like the brother was this catalyst of constant emotional moments where you realize that the rest of the family has tried to move past. But the mother hasn't allowed it. And you watch the rest of the family kind of force the mother to understand that she has to move past it. And you find the mother and the father in a car watching the rocket go up. And this kind of pushes the mom to realize, wow, I've really fucked our family all these years. If it wasn't for the son, though, the father was going to continue to allow it. The son is what forced it. He put his mom on the spot. He went out there, and then I don't even think the mom knew the son was out there until he walks back and sees the car, and they're both like,
The rocket has nothing to do with, ends up having nothing to do with Menma's wish, but it is really the catalyst for the group having to, have this conflict with her mother, drag them out.
But that failed wish is also the catalyst for that emotional scene we were talking about, where everybody thinks the reason why Menma didn't disappear is because of their own selfishness. All of them come out with something, even Jinta at the end, where he's like, I just wish she wouldn't leave. And that's when we find out the wish actually was was not actually Menma's technical wish. It was the wish of Jinta's mom.
And it was so stupid!
I disagree. This is another part where it hit me emotionally, where Jinta's mom was dying of the anime wasting disease.
Right, yeah.
all, or the anime mom disease, as you called it. So she realized that Jinta had to put on this facade. No crying, keep a straight face, work through it, all there for your mother. Wasn't crying throughout, even though most people would. Her wish that Jinta would just cry.
My game sounds like
and that eventually came through when, because Memo was there when the mother told him that.
Stop running away,
Memo was like, I will make sure he cries.
Stop running away. I cracked one of them.
And it turns at the end into this little game of hide and seek. And when they find her, they finish the game. And dude, I was fucking, I was out. I was fucking, I was a fucking
mess. I was the opposite. I was the opposite. I thought it was way too overdramatic.
I disagree. After the actual overdramatic scene, I thought this was how the other scene should have gone. I think yes.
I'm trying to talk.
They could have not have yelled the hide and seek stuff as often as they did.
Yeah.
I think they could have done it once or twice, but overall that scene had way more impact than the other dramatic scene they had right before it. This was the one where I was like, "Okay, y'all did this one a lot better." And maybe I would have been more critical if they hadn't had the more over-the-top scene. But so, the scene before made me way less critical about this one.
So I'm gonna conflict with Shan. So
you got time to sit.
I think that the having both scenes is excessive, but there's a lot in the hide and seek scene that makes sense. You know, so. Initially, it's Jinta who can no longer see Menma, and everyone's scared.
That part was
the Menma is gone, and so they start to make this fake game of hide and seek to try to find her, this ghost that they no longer can see, and then, you know, Jinta finally can see her, and they all are kind of in that moment when all of them are technically back together. They're kind of acting like elementary school kids again in this stupid game, and then all of a sudden, you know,
they didn't see her.
At the last moment of this hide and seek, everyone is able to see her.
Which was bizarre. Like, that whole scene to me was kind of bizarre. Like, she's like dying against a tree. She's like, ah! I don't know. I just thought it was really strange.
I mean, this whole anime is strange. Let's not get rid of that. But part of that trauma that they were carrying around is this idea that none of them were able to say goodbye to Menma, especially those people who had this unfinished trauma with her, Popo, Jinta and Yukitori, right? That they may have led to ultimately her death. So the fact that all as a group there finally they are able to see her and then have this moment where they say, you know, goodbye is, you know, is if not a literal you saying goodbye to a ghost, it is a thematic and a representation of them saying goodbye to this trauma they've been carrying around
for five years. So the one thing you're really missing is that when they're off, like, trying to find Menma because Jintan can no longer see her, they're, like, running through the woods, and she is still in the hideout, and she's trying to write these notes to everybody, individual notes to everybody. Right. I thought that part was very, very sweet. So when you have all the characters reading these personalized notes from her, from Menma, you know, saying that she misses their personality and stuff like that, like, I thought that part was so sweet. And I really wish they would have left it at that.
So I think the one thing is, though, I thought they ended it the right way by allowing everybody to finally see her. Because I felt like I would have been disappointed if that's how it ended, and the only person who saw her the entire time was Jinta, I like the fact that everybody was allowed to see her at the end. I think they should have had her stand up and not lean against a tree, like you said. I felt like they made her a little too, as a ghost.
That was weird.
Like, how is she suddenly, like, weak and she's just like, I'm just gonna lay against
this
tree.
That was weird.
No, just stand up and be like, I love you guys or something, like, I'm glad y'all found the peace or something. But I agree that the way they made her, like, frail again at the end was a little odd, because you're already a ghost. Like, what? Like, but I felt like you had to make sure everybody saw her to say goodbye. But I wish they hadn't repeated the hide-and-seek game thing over and over again. It was another part where it was like, I wish somebody would told him, you've got the general idea down, but you got to tone it back a little. You've really got to understand that there's something called overdoing it. And I felt like that was one thing that A1 Studios here kind of kept messing up on the dramatic scenes. As I was crying through them. But looking back on them, I can admit that there were problems with them.
Yes. But at the end, you know, you know, she is able to return. I mean, I think that I definitely... There needs to be some combination of it, because I think I would have felt a little unsatisfied if everyone didn't get to see her, because that does introduce this moment of doubt of whether she is actually really there.
I think it was a good way that there's no way that Yukiatsu can continue being a piece of shit to Gento the rest of his life. Or at least minimizes it.
Yeah, could Yukiatsu, maybe Yukiatsu, you know, if Yukiatsu did not see her, could he maybe another 5 years
pass? Oh, yeah, like, literally five days from then, he'd be like, we never saw her. We did all this shit for nothing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, screw that, dude.
Screw that.
Just fall for a set.
Not a fan.
But in the end, you know, like, I think her death broke up the group, and it was really, like, what Jinta needed to live a normal life, this kind of close-knit group of friends. And it seems at the end that it has been at least in some way restored to a normal functioning group of friends.
Yeah, I would say, well, to a understanding between the friends. I don't know if they're functioning at any point, even when they were kids.
They need some serious therapy.
A couple of them needed therapy prior to her death.
Honestly,
like,
I was hoping that Jintan and Aranu would end up together.
So I think they leave it open to your interpretation of what happened after.
I just think they would
I'm
make
glad
that
they didn't
couple.
Be like, they didn't have, like, credits where they're just going through, like, here's what happens next. Instead, it's like, hey, you make your own ending after that.
Yeah, I mean, I think certainly, like, pairing everyone
up... I will tell you right now, based on...
maybe cheapen it a little bit.
If you want good closure like that, Shannon, with Jinta's personality, he just settled with Otaru just because he...
He's such a shit character. I fucking hated him.
But he's the protagonist.
He's just this, you know, this sad anime.
He's supposed to be there
boy,
for the viewer.
But...
like, it's always that character where it's like, they're kind of bland, and you're not going to get much out of them because they don't want to stand them apart from the viewer too much.
I get it.
And honestly, I would say that... possibly everybody ends up with who they need to. I'm pretty sure Chimiko ended up with Yukiatsu because they all just settled.
Yep.
They felt like a group that finished their trauma and are going to settle based off that trauma.
Well, I just let's hope that they maybe found someone outside this group and then they can.
I agree.
They can
but
move on.
Based on their trauma, they won't find somebody outside the group. Let's be honest.
Oh my god.
So,
are
you empty?
Yeah.
But overall,
so that's Alohana.
Overall, gave it a 4 out of 5. I feel like if it didn't over dramatize some of the incidents, I would have probably done 4.5. Because in my crying, they kind of pulled me out at times, like I said, where it was like, yo, you guys nailed it, and then we're like, no, hey, guess what? Hammer, hammer, hammer. And I was like, okay, you hammered too much. I'm done.
Yeah.
Yeah, good. I think that what you know, there certainly is a decent amount of melodrama in the show. I'm not going to say there isn't. It's no Angel Beats.
I'm telling you right now. It's not going to be now. But Shannon is going to have to watch Angel Beats on one of these shows. It's not going to be now because I'm not going to do two of these shows back to back. I'm not a savage. Do you like Lisa's music?
No.
Oh, well, shit. She's going to hate Angel Beats because Lisa's first project was basically Girls Dead Monster that came out of Angel Beats.
I'm not a fan of her music at all, honestly.
Oh, this is... Well, I'll be honest, though. All the Girls Dead Monster stuff is better than any of her stuff after.
It's really good. I don't really like...
No, really way like better than all... Like, I'm telling you right now, Lisa has never lived up to the... I bought the soundtrack to Girls Dead Monster from Angel Beats, and it's still my favorite Lisa works this many years later. Like, I don't think she's ever lived up to that Angel Beats music, because it's very much not... I would say it's more rock-pop than the pop-rock she does now, if that makes sense. It's more on the rock side of the pop than the pop side of the rock.
Okay.
If that makes sense. I don't know how to really explain that.
I don't know. I just, she's too nasally.
I'm going to make you watch that show and you're going to cry. And you're going to cry.
The last anime that made me cry was, what was that movie? It was Asylum Voice.
Oh, sorry. I can't give it away. There's a certain episode of Angel Beats. If you don't cry, you got no soul. That's all.
I have no soul. Are you scared? We established this with Autumn. I have no soul.
Wait, look at the camera.
So, Angel Beats, you're going to go into this going, this is fucking Moe bullshit, and then be crying after you're done. Like, I'm telling you right now.
First off, I
went into Angel Beats going, Moe bullshit. Then I'm like, nah. God, please make it stop. It is just fucking.
Did you cry on Angel Beats?
Yes. Scott can't lie on this. We all did. We talked about. Yes, we all did.
Did you seriously? Yeah. Maybe I'm just Angel Beats. I'm cold.
Here's the thing, though.
I'm a cold-blooded bitch.
Here's the thing. Angel Beats is like Clannad, but shortened by like.
I've never seen Clannad. 25%. It's just not my wheelhouse.
Angel Beats.
You would cry. Clannad.
Angel Beats is like Clannad, but a revolver version where they just fire multiple shots.
13 episodes instead of 48. So Clannad, I always tell people, and I will forever repeat this on the show, how many episodes we do. Clannad season one is 75% humor, 25% crying. You can reverse that in After Story because you're going to be crying 75% of the time and only laughing at 25%.
Nah, y'all said that about Anohana, and I did not shed a single tear.
No, hold on. Anohana doesn't even hold a candle to Angel Beats, and Angel Beats doesn't even hold a candle to Clannad. Like, Clannad's on this level where I'm like, I watched it in 48 hours. I was at work bawling my eyes out, coming home with a... roll of toilet paper, just crying. Like, why am I doing this to myself? It was literally 3 days, 48 hours of being awake. I destroyed that show. And I don't know why I did that to myself. I would never do it again with another fucking drama anime. I was a mess, an emotional mess. I'm telling you right now, if you don't cry at Clannad, or I should say the entire show of Clannad, because Clannad After Story is a whole nother demon. That second season is a whole nother demon.
I'm a cold, heartless bitch.
I mean, this is not about... This shouldn't be about Angel Beats.
Hold on.
But Angel Beats had...
Well, Angel Beats should have been 26 episodes and only did 13. That's the problem.
Angel Beats has one specific... story. And Angel Beats is a series of stories.
Hold on.
Of people dealing with
three times I cried in Angel Beats, and I can still, to this day, tell you exactly the episodes and exactly what fucking happened in those three episodes.
Y'all are a bunch of.
There is.
But I'll tell you right now, if you've ever dealt with anything traumatic in family,
How many times have I put that out there, but I'll tell you right now.
I will tell you right now. Hold on. Based on your family life, if you don't cry at Clannad After Story, you're soulless because I know you will.
How many times did I clear out your alcohol refrigerator? You walked home, and I'm sitting.
But not have you?
I'm sitting in your living room in the basement, and I'm crying my eyes.
Yes, I know. All my banana bread beer was gone. But Clannad will have you to the point where Adam's gonna come home and be like, "Do I need to make another liquor store run? Like, what the fuck is going on?"
Yeah.
I would never pick Clannad because it's 48 episodes, and you have to watch all of it. If you're gonna watch it, there, you can't stop.
I will say, if we watch Angel Beats, there is one specific episode of Angel Beats
that I think is
like the perfect combination of animation, music, and manipulative nonsense. That it's like it hammers a stake through your heart.
I'm gonna tell you right now, when I listen to that album, that song comes on and I still fucking cry every fucking time. I have never had an anime have a song that when I listen to it outside of the anime, I'm crying right now thinking about it. That song, Lisa.
No, my only love from the original Sailor Moon English Dick soundtrack. That shit still makes me cry.
The original what soundtrack?
The Dick soundtrack.
I know what you meant, but I had to make you say Dick soundtrack.
Dick! The Dick soundtrack.
Dick fight soundtrack.
Dude, that shit
when we grew up, I don't know how nobody ever laughed at this. They'd be like, Dick! At the end of every show. They would say it too. They'd be like, Dick. And you're like, why are you saying this? Stop saying it. You'd be like, you've been in high school going, They
Mike,
said dick.
Wait, so is it your turn to choose one? Have you chosen?
I've got it.
Okay.
All right, well, anyway.
I have my show. It's not Angel Beats.
Bringing it down. Anohana, Mike, you said a 4.
4 out of 5.
Like I said, yeah, I think.
Shayla's like 4 out of 10.
I think this is a show. Right. The themes of the show are something that I wish we got more
6 out of 10?
Of.
So a 3 out of 5. So okay, Shannon says 3 out of 5. That's high for her. I'm surprised.
Yeah, I wish we got the themes that this show explores more in anime. That it was more the actual like trauma was explored more in a kind of a serious
blanket way.
Honestly, I
feel like you might be lucky
way.
To get one a year if you're looking at this.
If that. You know, and there's certainly some shows that,
or other
some
times
shows
you get
some,
girlfriend ex girlfriend,
and some manga more so that really like explore like
manga will go
like,
out of the way
terrible trauma and
I feel like Silent Voice is one of
adolescence
the more recent ones.
Nonsense.
Silent Voice is one of the more recent ones.
That made me cry.
What? Yeah. You yeah. cried at some anime? Holy
I
shit.
Did. I cried at that
I
one.
Read the first volume of the manga, but never read past it.
No, the anime made me cry.
Makes sense.
The one that I always think of is the Flowers of Evil manga, where that
no, fuck,
really
crazy.
Is like a terrifying...
Flowers
it's
evil
a terrifying
bullshit.
Exploration of what like an adolescent
Flowers
who
evil
is
bullshit.
Mad at the world can deal with.
Wasn't that... Were you talking about that during our like last year of this show running? And I used to shit on Flowers of Evil all the time. Pretty sure that was the last year.
Right, but you shit on it for the wrong reasons because you were mad that they rotoscoped it. That manga is very good.
That looked terrible in anime.
The manga is very good. There's also a live action adaptation.
Oh, no, it's the year before.
But the manga is
very good.
That rotoscoping
looks terrible.
Rotoscoping usually does.
I'm just not a fan of it. I don't get it. Like,
well, the goal, the rotoscoping. Well, so Flowers of Evil is about the, you know, and this is Jesus Christ. So we have to end the show. But Flowers of Evil. The rotoscoping works in the themes of Flowers of Evil because it is about a young girl whose perception of reality has become tarnished by her own angst and trauma, and so that they manifest these like weird symbols of the literal flowers of evil, where things grow and
I'm gonna
possess
give you your
things.
Companion in love of this show, and how stupid this review is, right? Or this discussion point is. I think this is an original anime. This anime is a great adaptation of a book. Wait, what? You can't call it an original anime and then say it's a great adaptation of a book.
I don't know where you're reading that from, but I don't think that's an authoritative source.
I got down by your
I'm just laughing. Okay. That's your companion.
So that's who you fight this battle. I think ultimately this series kind of handles the subject matter very well in a way that can yes
okay.
that anime oh. fans could digest and process.
Well, I thought it was interesting. It was 11 episodes.
That was rough. Well.
So they obviously realized they didn't have to push it out too far. They obviously had probably a story to tell.
It was probably Notanima.
No, but I'm saying they could have done 12 like everything like else. And they at least cut some stuff out, obviously, to make 11.
I think all those Notanima ones were...
Dude, have you seen what's on Noe Tanima now? It doesn't even matter.
I have not.
Click on the tag on Anime Planet, and you'd be like, The Promised Neverland.
Well, Promised Neverland's good.
Psycho Pass. Silver Spoon.
I like Silver Spoon. Silver Spoon's really good.
Backflip.
Have you seen Silver Spoon?
No.
I don't know what Backflip is, but Silver Spoon is really good.
Eden of the East.
Eden of the East is very good. You're just reading Notanima shows, trying to like find one that makes me mad. Silver Spoon is really
Bunny
good.
Drop.
It's by the guy. Bunny Drop is also really
Bunny
good.
Bunny Drop is a great
shows.
Anime. Just never read the manga.
Anyway.
Okay.
Anyway,
are you
I
ready
like,
for my
I like
show?
The show. It's certainly worth watching. And that's my review. Jesus fucking
Christ. Are you
Christ,
ready for my isekai pick?
Yeah, sure. Let's fucking hear whatever
Shannon,
nonsense you're going to throw
I
want
to see Shannon's response.
Yeah, we're ready for it.
All right, it is a...
If you say Sword Art Online, I'm going to fucking
fuck
just
no.
disconnect.
Fuck no, I would disconnect if I said Sword Art Online.
I'm
so
triggered.
It's actually a one episode shorter series than this. It has... Now, to be fair, if you want to watch further, this show has a few seasons. Or a couple seasons. It is Konosuba, God's Blessing on this
okay.
wonderful world.
That's what I expected.
I had a choice between this and Devil is a Part-Timer because Shannon doesn't have Funimation. So I went with Konosuba since it's on Crunchyroll. So I'll go brief overview. After a traffic accident, Kazuma Sato's disappointingly brief life was supposed to be over. He wakes up to see a beautiful girl before him. She claims to be a goddess, Aqua, and asks if he would like to go to another world and bring only one thing with him. Kazuma decides to bring the goddess herself. And they are transported to a fantasy world filled with adventure ruled by a demon king. Kazuma only wants to live in peace, but Aqua wants to solve many of this world's problems, and the Demon King will only turn a blind eye for so long. So, a heads up on this, because I've read three volumes of the light novel. This is the isekai that makes fun of the other fucking isekais.
It is constant comedy.
Like, it's not like... you're not going to go into this going, oh god, yeah, it has a slight harem aspect, but it is just making fun of every fucking thing. Nothing goes right for him because everybody around him are fucking incompetent, and he's like, I just want to live a peaceful fucking life.
Yeah, I think the problem is that this was conceived as the anti-isekai, making fun of the other isekai
and
how stupid they are. But it became so popular.
But I'm telling
that now
you right now,
modern isekai crib from this.
Yes. But I feel like for isekai, Shannon will enjoy how stupid this is because it's making fun of the tropes you're used to seeing. So I tried
to
find something.
I have
that
actually seen a couple episodes of this
I've
show.
I've only read the first three volumes of the light novel, and I have to watch the anime. So. It was either this or Devil is a Part-Timer. I wanted something that was isekai, or reverse isekai as Devil's a Part-Timer, and not have something that felt like the norm.
So I have not actually... I never thought of Devil as a Part-Timer as a reverse isekai.
So they come to
that's
the
an interesting
US.
Way
they come
to
see
it.
Modern world.
Yeah.
So they're all in modern-day Japan. And they call it reverse isekai when you come to Japan.
So is that what my trip to Japan was called?
I don't mind isekais. Like I said,
but
as long as I said, you know, it's not like, what did I say the other day in chat? Like, you know, I can't fucking jerk off or whatever, and I reincarnated as dildo in another world. Like, I don't understand.
No. I didn't pick that.
Just like nothing like
that,
that kind of bullshit.
What was that isekai that's like, I hope I didn't put it on my plex.
I can't jerk off in my world, so I reincarnated as a dildo in another's.
Is that real? Or did you make that up?
I just made that shit
it
up.
It could be real.
So there's some anime that deals with, like, I think there's an isekai anime that deals with, like, legit, like, this guy's getting revenge.
Oh my god. I'm not surprised.
And I'm just like, yo, it's supposed to be, like, I've seen, like, even, like, TikTok anime be like, yo, if your waifu comes from this, don't talk to me. It's like healer, and it's like redo of healer. It's supposed to be fucked up.
Well, I have been Scott's Bezzini
redo
from
of
top
healer
in review.
Is the one.
Shannon,
don't watch
that. Where can people find you on the internet?
Whoa, hold on. So Konosuba.
Oh my god, right. Mike, come on. We are at almost an hour and a half.
I got one. It don't matter.
Shannon, where can people find you on internet?
People can find me on internet at Perfect Serenade on Twitter. And you can find me on...
That's right. That's your Twitter.
Lucifer's _ Ace _ webcomic.
Underscore.
Right. You keep breaking those. You keep breaking those records of how many people are following
underscore,
that webcomic.
Underscore.
Yes,
underscore.
I hit 4,000. Was it 4,000? Yeah. Wait. No, I don't remember. I don't know. It was 7,000.
Hold on.
What?
She did an amazing drew other people's characters on Instagram from other original webtoons, and it was pretty awesome.
Okay.
Especially since one of them was Twisted.
On the bridge.
Twill.
Sister.
Twill.
Thank you.
Metal.
No, because it's somebody I met at one of the concerts we went
LAX.
To.
LAX. So my friend Allie. Yeah. So she's got a webcomic called Invader, Adventures of Star, Hopper, and Husky, which is really great. Love her to death. She and I go back many, many years. Yes.
Her and I talk on Twitter every once in a while about, like, local bars in the area that she used to go to all the time.
She's fantastic. I love her to death. Cool. I mean, she's one of the greatest people I know. Nice. But yeah, anyway, you can find me, Lucifer's Ace. I hit, I think, 4,000 subscribers on Tapas this week. And I'm
Do you have a Mob Psycho poster behind you?
I do. I have a Mob Psycho poster. Okay. So I have a Mob.
Can you put it?
How come nobody talks about my posters, goddammit?
So this.
Nobody cares.
So I have a Mob Psycho poster. And then I have a animation cell from the Magic Nightmare Earth OAB. And then over on the other side, I have a JoJo's Bizarre Adventure thing. And then over here, I got my Sailor Moon thing. And then, like, way over here on the other side, I have, you can't really see it, but it's a project. Okay, so this is my pride and joy. My Project Aiko movie original animation cell. I spent a shit ton of money on it, and then I spent ton of money on framing it by somebody who specializes in animation cell framing. So that's my pride and joy.
So I have a question.
What's your question?
For Konosuba.
Yeah.
If y'all don't mind making a slightly longer episode.
Okay.
As fellow isekai trash fan.
Okay.
I'd like to bring Matt in. Back in.
Okay, I'm good. Because
him
down.
And I
Let's
love
go.
Some isekai. I just have to talk to him and be like, hey,
Let's
would you
it.
Be available? Whoops, I put the wrong date.
Let's That's do it. 24. I'm doing it. We're doing it. Matt, let's
but,
do it.
What are we looking at? I put 8/24, but it's not. It's September 7th. I am on Eve that week, so it'll be September 14th.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
Mike. Where can people find you on internet so we're not doing logistics during the recording?
Who cares? People have listened this long. You don't give a shit what we talk about. You can find me everywhere.
People stopped listening a long time
Twitter,
ago.
Twitter, Instagram, at GNitro, GNITRO, or you can check out my website, g-nitro.com, where I pretty much have gone back to blogging most about K-pop. I was trying to do my beer and vinyl pairings there. Honestly, I just felt like I needed to make it just a K-pop site. The other stuff doesn't fit in as well, in my opinion. It felt like it was forced.
Oh. Fair enough.
Yeah.
You can find me at Scott Spaziani on Twitter. You can find me, of course, otakuinreview.com, where I have some long-form anime reviews, including a long-form anime review of Angel Beats from back in when it was released. Of course, you can watch me stream on Twitch at twitch.tv/GundamPilotsBaz. If you're lucky, you can catch me doing the a game from one of my viewers that they paid the magic Twitch points to make me do
magic Twitch which points. Is
Dance Central.
Scott, so you're that's dancing coming. In front of the camera. Yeah.
Dance
I am
Central. Isn't until that the Kinect game?
It was, but now it's just a hold your Switch Joy-Con in a certain way game.
Oh, really? Interesting. Oh, they have three of them? Jesus.
They have one every year. In fact, I think this is the last one that came out, on the Wii officially.
Interesting. Interesting.
Shannon, I will make you.
Stop showing
I will
your
make
feet.
You aware when it happens.
Stop.
And we will talk to you next week.
See y'all later.
Peace.
Bye.
Peace. Fucking hate feet.
Whatever, my feet are cute. What are you talking about?
Feet are. Stop. Are we stopping?
We're not stopping yet.
Oh, we
still have
to record
the intro. You're such an ass.
I hate feet. It's not you. It's just feet.
You live with me for how long? And you saw my feet?
I don't like feet. No, I didn't pay attention. I ignored that shit.
Whatever, bitch.
Look, somebody at work.
Whatever, bitch.
Two people at work took... Two of my coworkers back on the last contract, like 3-4 years ago.
They showed you their
took
feet?
Off the other coworker's shoes, took lotion, and started rubbing their feet.
Mm, yeah.
And I had to leave the room, and I literally almost vomited in the hallway. I just can't
Wait,
do
what,
feet.
What? Why? Why was that
because
happening?
Because they're
it
fucking
worked.
With me. I hate feet. Feet are disgusting. Feet are. People are walking on their feet all day. They're not fucking cute. They're gross. They're the one of the grossest parts of your fucking body. You know what it stems from? Stop. You know what it stems from?
Wait till you finally see a woman's genitals, because then maybe.
You know what it stems from? Me and friends in the Air Force were super. Hold on. Me and friends in the Air Force were tubing in San Antonio. And my friend took off this girl's, like, flip-flops, and her feet were, like, gnarly and nasty, poured beer on them, and started licking through the feet and the toes, and I just was like, bleh! And ever since then, I can't stand feet.
There's Mina.
I watched some of the nastiest shit.
You got me kitty.
Is this, kitty. Is this lewd? Shannon's got her pussy on camera.
That's a dog?
It's a dog. That's Duncan.
Duncan! All right,
what do we call it?
Duncan's a sweetheart.
What do we call this episode? What are we calling this episode?
Anohana. I stepped on the flower I saw that day. I don't know. The flower I stepped on that day. Do we do anything funny for the... I can't remember.
No, it was Mountain Dew. It was the Mountain Dew White Claw.
Oh, let's see. OIR, text. I'm like, Hamato, this is episode...
Look at her. Love her. Mina.
Recorded on, what is it, August 10th?
Is this Arenas?
Oof, I'm going to be fucked up tomorrow when I get to work.
Oh my god, you're so fucked up.
So, I don't know what you want to call this. The...
I know, asshole.
Overdramatics we did that day? I don't know.
The overdramatics we did that day.
See? She found it funny.
That's because I'm like... A beer and two margaritas in.
I am of 13.5% wine. I am about done. It's gone from the bottle. There's a little condom bubble down here. Look at the condom bubble. Look at the condom bubble.
What the fuck is that?
That's right. That might fit your dick.
Look at Duncan.
The flower we
I mean with
the flower
lies,
we
but
reviewed.
Not length.
The flower we reviewed that day.
Hold on. Yeah. I just broke Scott with that comment.
The flower we reviewed that day.
Okay, let's do it.
All right. Okay, ready? We ready? We ready? We ready? We ready? We ready?
Sure. Shannon said, shh. What are you doing? I don't think we need to see your thighs.
Ooh, yes!
Stop, please stop. Yeah. I'm legit gonna vomit. Just,
sexy
please,
coyotes,
stop.
Yeah.
Please stop.
This is the Otaku in Review podcast. I'm Scott Spaziani from Otaku in Review.
Sorry, you have to start over.
Fuck. Do it again, Scott.